Hi, Brittany.
Hey, Kevin. It's so great we could connect.
Great. Yeah, likewise. Thanks for making the time. So, all right, let's get right into things here. Let's start with your year of graduation, including if you finished coursework spring, summer, fall, and your major or majors.
So I graduated in May of 2020, and I'm a music business major.
2020 by sympathy. So,
Thanks.
yeah, that was that virtual graduation, right?
Yep, it was. I graduated from my mom's living room back in my old hometown of in Ohio.
All right, great. And what was your principal instrument?
My principal was voice.
Excellent. So cool. We will get to your history later.
Great.
But for now, tell us about your current job. Where do you work? What do you do?
Currently I am the corporate partnerships manager at GLAAD, which is a nonprofit organization. GLAAD is an acronym for Gays and Lesbians Against Defamation.
Aren't there two GLADs? Like there's one with two A's and one with one A? Or am I misremembering?
No, you're correct. So I work at GLAAD with two A's.
Okay. Great.
Okay,
Well, what's the
great news.
really short version of the difference between these two? Is it like one of them a legal thing or?
So GLAAD with one A is like a Tupperware and like garbage bag and like kitchen stuff kind of
Oh,
company.
seriously.
And GLAAD with two A's, where I work at, is an acronym. So the old name used to be Gays and Lesbians Against Defamation, and so that's where you get the two A's from, like against an and. So yeah.
Okay.
But
Great. And then you said you're a corporate partnership.
yeah, I'm
So,
a corporate partnerships manager. So
yeah, can you define that?
it's a big fancy title for I'm a professional people person, as I like to describe it. So I work with our partners who so it's a nonprofit, and at the heart of my job, I'm a fundraiser. And I work with our corporate partners to kind of fund these initiatives and events that GLAAD does, and kind of help their visions come to life for whatever their partnership may be. So you'll find me helping a partner get their logo in the right place on like a digital invitation or an Instagram post or some form of news, something that they've helped sponsor. Or
I mean,
you'll
I think of a corporate partners, corporate sponsors as, festivals. I mean, here in Boston, there's the Boston Pride Festival, but of course, there are many non-GLBT, et cetera, festivals which also get corporate sponsorship. Is that the sort of?
That's kind of it. So I do so everything small scale from like I was saying, like logo placements and name placements to like large scale what we call activations, which is like when you see those big banners of like someone sponsoring a pride event, or you see like a gigantic photo op that's like a giant martini glass with the Ornitos logo on it. I kind of make all of those things happen. I keep all of our like partners happy. So that's why I say I'm a professional people person first.
Got
Keep
it.
my job.
So now is this the case where I'm trying to think the right way to say this. Are the corporations getting this publicity for donating to GLAAD, or is this for, are they donating to the event?
Yeah,
Basically.
so it's specific partner by partner.
Okay.
We do have some that are, event specific. Like we recently had our 40th anniversary event that took place in New York City. That's where I'm currently based. And we had some partners who were specifically donating to get that event up and running. But then we have like overarching partners who contribute, X amount of money to
Okay.
help make everything at the organization run. So we have a lot of different branches. I just happen to work with our corporate partners, but those corporate partners give money to our events and to our education branch as well.
Gotcha. If you don't mind sharing, I'm curious about GLAAD itself. So, in terms of employees, how big an organization is it? And how many of those are working in some form of fundraising like you?
So
Ballpark.
we are around like 60 people, give or take, as an organization as a whole, spread across New York, LA, and a few other places across the states. And if you ask anybody at the organization, they'll all say that we're fundraisers at heart. But the development team, I believe, is like maybe like 10 of us.
Okay.
Yeah. Small but
Got
mighty.
it. No, it's important to bring in money or none of the other stuff happens. I completely
Yeah.
understand. And you are not my first person who has worked in nonprofit fundraising.
Yeah, nonprofits have always had a special place in my heart. I even like during my undergrad interned at a couple nonprofits. And yeah, it's a really special thing to be able to like work for a cause, and really be able to I think in this job, I feel like I'm making the most amount of impact I've truly ever made in my life, which is really fulfilling.
That's great. And so let's see. I assume it's a salaried position.
It is a salaried position, yes.
Great.
Salaried,
Is yep.
full benefits, the whole thing.
Excellent. And do you, is it hybrid in person?
It's a hybrid position. So I am in office 2 days a week, and then the other days I work remote. And then when we have an event, I'm on site because I'm typically like one of the point people for our sponsors when on site for events.
I mean, New York is a pretty, there's a large sexual diversity community, if I can say that. And so when you say events, are these all like New York events, or do you go outside New York?
So I will bounce between New York and LA.
Okay.
Have events that take place here, like we have a gala that comes around every fall. But we have our largest event that happens in LA in March, and that's the GLAAD Media Awards. I like to say that that's like the gay Oscars. So that's our award ceremony that recognizes, exceptional work and representation. GLAAD is an organization that started, in the 80s, during the AIDS epidemic, to fight the defamation in media that was happening and the misinformation in media that was happening around the epidemic. And
I remember the AIDS epidemic. It was terrifying.
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so GLAAD really took a stance there and helped fight all that misinformation, and it continues to do that. And our award ceremony really highlights the folks in media who are doing that every day as well.
Right. Got it. I understand. About how many different corporations are you in contact with in a given month?
Oh, wow, that's a great question. In a given month, probably like 10 to 15 different corporations, but I'm on a team of, so the development department is separated into like two small sections. I'm on a team of four. And amongst that team of four, we do cover like 100 plus different corporations. and organizations who contribute.
Gotcha. And are there particular industries which are a lot more common to sponsor? I mean, is it just a random cross section, or I think of alcohol brands often seem popular, or are you literally in touch with media corporations?
It's all of it. So it's media, it's alcohol, it's cars, it's tech, it's finance. We really
Okay.
see a little bit of everything, which is kind of cool. You don't realize how many people are, there in support.
Gotcha, gotcha. So, hey, could you take us through a typical work day, kind of hour by hour? Let's say one of the days you're in the office.
Yeah, 100%. So I usually arrive to the office around like 9, and one of the first things that we, kind of do, I'm thinking of like our busiest day of the week in the office. We'll have a team meeting to discuss kind of like the goals for our like smaller team and like the budgetary goals and, who is handling which corporation this day and what all of our tasks are kind of for like either the day or like the week, depending on how heavy of a lift things are. And then I get a couple hours where I just do deck creation. So I make a lot of pitch decks. I do a lot of like design work in those. And then I send a lot of
Sorry,
like,
what are pitch decks?
A pitch deck is like a beautiful slideshow that describes everything that we kind of offer to a partner. So it's when we go into like a potential sales meeting, it's kind of our visual aid. And I get to collaborate with my team on like the design elements and each partner's like specific benefits. It's a really fun way to be like corporately creative.
Okay.
So I have a lot of fun doing that, and I do about like I'd say like four of those a day. And they're kind of time consuming, I won't lie, but it's really fun to be able to go through and I pull like photo assets from all of our events, so like fun red carpet moments or like stuff from like activations. And to kind of define what an activation is, it's like I mentioned, it's like, when you see somebody's name on one of those big banners, that's kind of an activation, or it's something that a person at an event can engage with. So like a photo opportunity. And so I get to pull a
Okay.
lot of creative pieces from that and kind of pop them into this like presentation to hand over to a partner. And then we'll do like an all organization meeting. So that's everybody who's in office and everybody who is in the LA office. We all kind of hop on a very large conference call to discuss like organization-wide needs and wants and goals and any, if there's updates to XYZ policy or security office things, or if like the office is going to be closed for a few days around Christmas. Like it's just a big all-encompassing meeting. But my team and my organization as a whole is extremely collaboration heavy. So throughout the day, I'm really like touching base with pretty much everyone from all departments, making sure that we're all kind of aligned before I even get the opportunity to like sit down in my meetings with partners. That way we're presenting a clear vision of what everybody gets and wants.
Gotcha. Wonderful. So, about how many hours a week do you work on average?
I work 40 hours a week.
All right. Standard.
Yeah,
And
very cool.
cool. And you started to answer this question earlier, but I'll ask it again anyway, which is, what as I heard you talking about how, meaningful this work is to you. Is there anything beyond that that you particularly enjoy about the role of corporate fundraiser
Yeah.
or
Oh, I.
nonprofit fundraiser?
Yeah. Oh, I love this question. I love that I get the opportunity to collaborate. I think that's very rare in like a corporate sphere. And so to work for an organization that really prides itself on that is really special to me. And the work itself is so incredible that I'm very proud to work there. But yeah, I think the biggest thing that I've never gotten from like other corporations that I've worked with or organizations I've worked with is this like collaborative spirit. As someone who comes from the background I come from, the education background I come from, really banding together was important and special to me. So,
Gotcha. Are you saying that? Obviously, you're a Berkeley grad. Are you saying that it feels like the feeling of when you're in a band and everyone working together? Is that what you're alluding to?
100%. It feels a lot like being like part of a band, and it feels like not that I ever felt like a need to really blend like my music and corporate stuff. That was not like my goal. It does feel like I get the opportunity to blend like my fun, creative aspects of myself and my like education with my like corporate job, which
All
isn't typical,
right.
I don't think.
Excellent. So cool. Let's take it back now to 2020. Apologies. And although if you feel this story has a logical earlier starting point, we can take it back further than 2020. But otherwise, you'll put us in your head space as Berkeley was wrapping up and just what you were thinking for career. And we'll then take it one step at a time, both what you were doing for work between then and now, but also like where you were at mentally in terms of where you wanted your career to go.
I think the only like earlier thing that's important to mention is it actually started in 2020. In January of 2020, I began an internship at the North End Music and Performing Arts Center, which is
Okay.
a nonprofit organization in Boston, working with like theatrical education and music education. And I had thought that maybe I wanted to do mission-driven work already, but that really solidified that I was like, I have to be in the nonprofit space. I have to like really do things that have a drive and a mission. And then as I was wrapping up, I was still very unsure of what that meant. And I think like a lot of like my friends at the time, we weren't sure where anything was going to go because it was 2020. I kind of just applied to anything and everything and hoped for the best. I applied to things from like typical like nonprofit administration jobs, to like cashier stuff, just anything that had an open application at the time. And
Right, unemployment was really high in 2020.
yeah, crazy high. And so, graduating in May of 2020, I was just like clueless. And I was lucky enough that I had some friends who worked for Berkeley NYC. As like the year kind of progressed, I stayed unemployed until like March of 2021. I can't even lie. I was really just kind of struggling and willing to kind of look at almost anything. And I had a friend who worked at Berkeley NYC. New York was always my goal, and she connected me with the managers there, and I was able to come in as like an administrative assistant kind of manager position at Berkeley NYC's Studio Power Station. And
Sorry, I've got to flaunt my ignorance here.
yes.
You just used the word assistant and manager back to back. So I'm
Yes.
not quite sure what administrative assistant manager means.
Yeah, it's no, really, it was a very ambiguous title. I was doing admin work and like scheduling and like creating financial systems and like just anything that an admin would do, I was
Okay.
doing that plus. I was like administration bonus.
Okay.
Which was wild. And I was actually still actively job hunting while I was doing that job, but I wanted to be in New York and knew that like that was kind of
Was the Berkeley job a full-time or part-time job?
it was part-time at first. It led into full-time over the year.
Gotcha.
And I ended up working for the New York Department of Education during that time as well. So I worked at Berkeley NYC for a few years, but after my first year there, I also worked for the New York City Department of Education as a program manager for a like a nonprofit fellowship that they had there. It was called the
Oh.
Paul Simon Music Fellowship Program, and it was helping young teachers connect with like teachers who had been in the education system for I think it was 10 plus years, and like
Okay.
a mentorship program. And so I was
Sorry, was this music teachers or all teachers?
all teachers.
Okay. Can I ask quickly how you got that job?
I was recommended. This is actually probably my last like music industry related story before I totally veered into like nonprofit corporate work, which was I was at the studio. I was working at the front desk, and Paul Simon came in and like his team. And he has a very wonderful assistant. Her name was Juanita. And Juanita and I hit it off. And she actually recommended me
Oh, wow.
for the job. It was a fellowship program that Paul Simon created because he's from New York and he, you know, saw a gap in the public education. And he just needed a program manager.
All right.
Yeah, and that's one of my like favorite stories to tell. You know, she was Juanita and I were really thick as thieves for those like few days that they were in, and I was very lucky to be like recommended to that because honestly, that program put me on the path to all of my other like programs. So I've done quite a few things since moving to New York in 2021. I've worked for, like I just mentioned, that fellowship program, but I also worked for another music nonprofit that was called Live Music Society.
Okay.
Worked in like their social media department. They're a nonprofit that like helps small venues like get grants for like refurbishments and things.
Okay.
And then that nonprofit got me into wanting to do like more nonprofit like events work and like fundraising work. And so I veered into a remote job at an organization called the Nimble Group. And that was a not a nonprofit, a B Corp that held like large scale, and stay with me here,
Okay.
large scale HR conferences and events
Like for HR professionals.
for HR professionals. So when I got that position, it was full time. It wasn't salaried, it was hourly, but full benefits, remote, and I was so burnt out from just like all of the other work I'd been doing. I was doing a lot of part-time nonprofit work, and
Just like log hours, low pay, getting you down, or was it something else?
it was long hours, low pay. I was still also working at the studio at that time, which was also like long hours, low pay. And so I kind of hopped at the opportunity to really veer away from everything and go into a full corporate space.
I'm
And
sorry, when did this happen? What year?
that was in 2023. So I did
Got
all of that in the span of like 2021 to, well, technically I would say, because I started my program manager job for Paul Simon in 2022. So in that span of a year, I worked for two nonprofits and then jumped and the studio and then jumped over to the HR events.
Right, which you said that was a for-profit corporation, so
Yes, correct.
that presumably better pay, and you like the remote, but you're not there anymore. So what came next?
I needed more mission. I can't lie. I needed more mission, and so I was kind of already like weeble wobble out the door after about a year. And then I was let go in like a what I can now see as like a serendipitous moment. That corporation was very, very small, and as you may imagine, HR conferences aren't quite the money maker you might think they would be. And so the organization continued to lay off folks and get smaller and smaller, and I was just kind of caught in that tidal wave.
Sure.
And then I got scouted by Glad.
Oh, yeah, no, I want to hear how this happens. Got scouted by, did a recruiter reach out to you, or how did this?
Yes. So, I realized that that I was missing something very important in all of that work, which was my own authenticity. I had continued to be someone who felt like I was doing good work and was trying to be in these like really wonderful, great spaces, but I wasn't being true to like myself and what I had always loved. I had tried to stay close to the music, which I can't say that I don't love music because that would be fake. Like that would just be a lie. But I didn't love working in the entertainment sphere and I didn't love working in the music sphere. Music was something else to me. It was something that I, really loved and cherished and had a passion for, but not something I wanted to work. And so when I got laid off from the HR conference position, which was something I had just applied to at random, I said, it's enough of me hiding behind this guise that I want to be a musician, or I want to work in this entertainment. Like, I just want to work for a mission and I want to be me. And so I updated my LinkedIn to say, like, I'm a community builder, I'm a mental health advocate, I'm a social justice advocate, I am me. And I like to tell people, I changed my LinkedIn banner to something I made on Canva, which shout out to Canva. I do love Canva. but I changed it to a quote from a gay activist, Bernard Rustin. And the quote
I
is,
heard of him.
yes, the quote is, in every community, we need a group of angelic troublemakers. And that's what I realized I was afraid to be, the angelic troublemaker that I was. And I can't even lie to you. the day after I updated my LinkedIn, a recruiter from Glad reached out. And I like to say the
Wow.
rest was history, but it was a very long interview process. Alex, our wonderful recruiter and HR rep, he messaged me on LinkedIn saying, I see that you have history working in, because my title at the HR conferences position was also partnerships manager. And so he said, I see that you have some partnerships manager experience. We are looking for a corporate partnerships manager, and I would like to invite you to apply. We've looked at your resume. It seems very eclectic, was the word they used. And we love that. And so I went, that interview process was about a month long. I had, I think, one interview a month or one interview a week, for a month. And every step of the way, they just kept saying, we love your authenticity and we love your background. You've done so many different things. You've been in so many different fields. It's such a unique resume. And our chief people officer even once used the word nimble resume, which I
I
thought
love it.
was hilarious.
Great. So it sounds like you were then hired into your current position.
Correct. Yes.
Got
A
it.
very beautiful offer letter after that month-long interview process. And I've been there ever since and have really been loving it. And I'm really grateful to be somewhere that really honors like who I am and the mission that they go for.
That's wonderful. And by the way, when did you start there?
I started there, so it is recent. I started there in about August.
Of this year.
July. Yep.
Yep, cool. And by the way, this is maybe a stupid question I'm going to ask anyway. Just back up by your title, corporate partnerships manager. As in, you're the manager of the corporate partnerships. So I get the impression you're not anybody's direct supervisor.
No, I am not anyone's direct supervisor. I am just kind of like it sounds like I'm the manager of our partners who come in. So those would be my
Exactly. Yep. It makes perfect sense. Cool. So let's take it to the third part of the interview of three.
Yeah.
And I'm going to preface the next question with there is no right or wrong answer. So these days, let's define these days as summer, fall of 2025.
Okay.
What, if anything, is your current relationship with music?
That is a wonderful question. I would say that I am relearning my relationship with music actively. I do have like training in like sound meditation and like kind of music in the wellness sphere at this time that I got kind of over the summer. But
Cool.
it's for me mostly. Yeah. I don't do any sort of public performances anymore or like play in a band, but I've got the little things that I like to do at home and that's enough for me.
Cool. So you're still singing, or if you play something, playing, but for yourself.
Yeah, 100%. It's my little side passion.
All right, very cool. And not an uncommon response, by the way.
Oh, wonderful.
All right. So, next question I have for you is, I'm sure of all the corporate partnerships managers or in the nonprofit sector in general, nonprofit fundraisers, a small fraction of them have a degree in music. So, let's assume you would have gone to college somewhere. But beyond the fact that it's a bachelor's degree, is there anything you feel your Berklee experience did particularly well to prepare you for the job you're doing now?
Honestly, yes. I actually really adore my education from Berkeley. I think it prepared me to like really think out of the box for everything. Like, I think the number one comment that I get at work is like, wow, I would have never thought of it that way. Or I love that you have this creative flair. Like, it really set me on a path to just work some muscles that I think when you don't have any sort of creative background or education, you don't really necessarily know to flex. So it's really given me an edge in that way. And I've
Sure.
never forgotten like my music business classes that like piqued my interest in like numbers. Like going to Berkeley and having to take like stats and economics and all of that made me realize that like though I may have failed fifth grade math, it was because I didn't care about fifth grade math. I cared about numbers for things I cared about. And that was a really funny revelation that Berkeley gave me that I carry every single day at my job.
Oh, that's terrific. Cool. So let's flip that question around now, because Berkeley primarily gives that bachelor of music degree. You went there knowing that, right, you're studying, getting a music education, and you're currently in a very good place in your career. But all that said, when you look back, is there anything where you say, hey, it would have been really useful to have learned this while at Berkeley, and they could have taught it to me, and they didn't. Anything missing or incomplete in your education?
I think if I could have had a few more like nonprofit specific courses, like marketing and fundraising is so different for corporate, for nonprofits, for anything versus marketing for like a tour and like a music career or like any of that I wish I would have had some more like general classes. And I'll say like I feel very lucky to have had the professors that I had because I think a lot of them had a grander scope perspective. But yeah, I think anything that would have led me to like know how to be a little more scrappy, I think. Because scrappy is very different in a nonprofit space versus a music space, if that makes sense.
I think so, yeah. Cool. Thank you. So, next question I have for you is thinking about the current group of Berkeley students who might be staring out in the big scary world wondering what comes next. What advice do you have?
Really sit with yourself and figure out what you mean to you. Not what your artist persona means, not what your parents who helped you get to Berkeley, if they helped you get to Berkeley, or what your agent or your manager or any of that is telling you that it should be or you should be. What do you mean to you? Because that's what I feel that I lost and had to really find through a lot of different workspaces and a lot of different kind of like career moves. When at the end of the day, I could have just listened to my gut and gone with like my full authentic self. And I think I would have landed where I'm at a lot sooner. And that's not to say I have any regrets for all of my post-grad career moments. I think I got something from each place, but yeah, find out what you mean to you.
Got it. That's great. And as mentioned before, your number is somewhere in the 270s as far as folks interviewed. but I feel like you might be my fourth nonprofit fundraiser. Well,
Oh,
much smaller number, right?
nice.
So maybe you're number five, but point is, I don't think anyone's listening to all 270 plus and counting. But anyone who's made it this far is probably thinking hard about whether they'd like to work in nonprofit fundraising or something at least very close to that. So for someone who's not yet doing it but is really considering it as a career, do you have any specific advice for them?
Yeah, get involved in your local communities. The best way to connect with potential like nonprofits that you might want to work with is to volunteer with them. And so the more you can like ingrain yourself early, the easier it's going to be to like meet the people that you need to meet to be able to work with them.
All right. That makes a lot of sense. So just have one last question for you, Brittany,
Yeah.
which is you have the mic. Is there anything we missed or anything else you'd like to say?
I think there's nothing we missed. You're very thorough. But what I would like to say is, I don't regret a single piece of my education. I don't regret a single piece of my career. But actually, no buts. It's an honor to be able to, no buts. It's able to like it's an honor to be able to like have those experiences and be able to use them for something that I'm so passionate about now, because my passion wasn't music, and that's okay. I still can love it and still have like space in my heart and my life for it while devoting all of my creativity and my passion to a mission.
All right. Well, that's great to hear. So I'm glad you're in a great place, Brittany. So thanks again for making the time. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Yeah, thank you. This was wonderful. I
All
really
right.
appreciate your time.
Great. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.